You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. Irene Daria is currently a developmental psychologist who specializes in teaching children to read, but that wasn't always the case. Back in 2005, she, like thousands of other parents, was a mother whose son, Eric, was not learning to read in school. Her new book, I Didn't Believe Him, focuses on his early elementary years and the flawed way his school was teaching reading. Irene is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Irene, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's start off with some background. So what exactly happened when your son, Eric, went into kindergarten?
So just to explain sort of a big picture of what the story is about, the book uses my son's story. It's not just his story. It's a story of so many other children. And the book uses his story as a window to show exactly how schools have turned millions of kids into struggling readers. And early reviews have called it entertaining and informative and horrifying and inspiring. So it reads like a novel, and his story is interspersed with the history of reading instruction. So what happened when he went into kindergarten is he was a little boy ready and eager to learn how to read. And he came to me when he was 5 years old. I'm stressing the 5 years old part of this. He came home from kindergarten one day and said, "Mommy, my school isn't teaching me how to read. They tell us to look at the pictures and guess what the words are, Mommy, and that's not reading. How do you read?" And his school had actually held a presentation about a week or so before that on how they taught reading. And I had no idea what they were talking about. They told parents, they didn't really explain it clearly. What they told us was what not to do with our children at home. And they said, do not have them sound out words when they read with you at home. Tell them you could do that, but why would you want to do that when there are so many other strategies? And what I later learned was instead of teaching the children phonics, which is how to sound out words, they, like schools all across the country, were using a method called balanced literacy, which uses something called three cueing. And what those three cues are, this is how they teach children to read. They tell them to guess what the words are from the pictures, to use context to try to figure out what the word might be, or to use just the first letter of the word. And the theory behind that method, which was disproven many years ago, was that learning to read is as natural as learning to speak. When we were babies, no one, you know, came to us and taught us the sounds or had us fill out phonics worksheets. They just talked to us and we learned to read. And the premise behind balanced literacy, which has its roots in something called whole language, which we may have time to talk about later, believes that learning to read is as natural as learning to speak. And if you just read to a child and surround him or her with books and give them just enough phonics, it's not that phonics wasn't taught, give them just enough phonics to get them on the road, you know, sort of not a crash course, but a little phonics sprinkled here and there, like if a word with a silent E at the end of it, like cane with a long vowel comes up, then you would explain that the E at the end of the word makes the A say its name or make its alphabet sound, or schools tend not to use the word long vowel with kids because kids find that confusing. And often, you know, parents would go to teachers and say, my son doesn't know long vowel words. And the teacher's response would be, well, your child was absent that day. So one day for an entire phonics lesson. And that just is not enough for most children. So kindergarten became a nightmare for Eric and really for our family, because a child really suffers and struggles when they're not being taught how to read in school and brings that anxiety and stress home with him, of course. So he went from being a very extroverted, chatty little boy who I always thought would get in so much trouble in kindergarten for talking too much to the kids next to him. He went from being a little chatterbox to sitting in the back of the room silently, sort of bowing his head, hoping no one would notice him, because he had no idea how to read. And he began having nightmares. He would dream that he fell off a boat and he was drowning. He was drowning in school because he couldn't read. You know what I mean? And he would start saying, I don't want to go to school. I hate school. His grades in reading, by the way, were excellent, outstanding. So there was no way for me to know that he did not know how to read. And he, in January of kindergarten year, began bringing home these little books. They're called pattern books, where the same sentence is repeated on each page. So they're very easy for a child to memorize. And there would be a big word, very big word, in the book. These books were specially constructed so that kids could not sound out the words. They would be forced to guess from the picture. So the book that he brought home on this particular day was called After School. And the repeated sentence on each page was After School I. And then there would be a word or a series of words that the child would use the picture to figure out. So it was things like, after school, I play with my brother. After school, I watch TV. After school, I go to the park. So we get to a page, and the word on the page is snack. After school, I have a snack. And the picture showed a little girl sitting, holding a sandwich, a plate with a sandwich on it on her lap, and a glass of milk. So Eric understandably, quote unquote, read, after school, I have a glass of milk. And I said, no, that's not the word. Sound out the word. He didn't know how to sound. I mean, he had no idea how to sound out the word. So then he tried again, you know, after school. So I'm sorry, I can't remember what I said. After school, I have a glass of milk. Then he said, after school, I have a sandwich. And I said, no, that's not the word. You know, sound it out. And I tried to get him to sound it out, you know. He had no idea what I was talking about. And I didn't know why, but I didn't worry about it because, look, my kid was able to read. After school, I go to the playground. And after school, I watch TV with my brother. And I thought, wow, this school, which is a very well-regarded, well-respected school in Manhattan, they really know what they're doing because look at how well my kid is reading. I forgot all about what he had said to me in the beginning of the year. He never raised it again. I told him to trust his school. I said, they know what they're doing. And he trusted me. And I guess he blamed himself that he wasn't learning. I don't know. It's a question for me to ask him now if he remembers. We've talked a lot about those times, but that's one question I haven't asked.
You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. Our guest is reading instruction expert Irene Daria. So tell me about Eric's school. You mention it called Hallowed School. At least that's the name you call it. So what about that school?
It is a very well-regarded school in New York City. It serves gifted and talented youngsters. You have to apply to get into the school. Very selective admission. Very, very proactive and involved parent body. I used to call us the downtown dummies because this school is on the Upper East Side in New York, which is it's the wealthiest neighborhood in New York, and parents are very well educated and very, you know, involved in their kids' education. In my family, we're also well educated and involved in our kids' education, but I did not realize how in that neighborhood parents were teaching their kids how to read at home before they started school, or they went to preschools that were very academically oriented and taught the kids the basics of phonics and sounding out in preschool. I was studying to be a developmental psychologist. Developmentally, what kids in preschool should do is play. So people gave us, ironically, I was taking classes at Teachers College for my degree. I was going to the New School for it, but taking a lot of classes at Teachers College. And parents would call the office of psychology asking how they can cognitively stimulate their children, their toddlers, their preschoolers. And we would just tell them they should play. They should be playing. So I did not teach my child how to read before he started kindergarten. And I regret that. That's a gift that I would recommend any parent, if they have the time and the interest, to do that. It's very easy to teach a child how to read if you do it right. Just so easy. I have a video on my website that people can watch, and it will tell them exactly what to do, and their kid will be up and running in no time. But just to back up to the story, and then, Charlie, you know, whatever else you want to ask, I just think it's very important that I get across that how he did not give up, right? In the summer, I realized he didn't know how to read a word. I didn't know how to help him. I reached out to parents at the school, and they told me what they did. They told me what workbooks they used, you know, this and that. And I decided, you know, to work with him, but it was summer. And honestly, I wanted to just enjoy my family, enjoy the summer. I didn't see it as anything urgent. I was wrong. It was very urgent. I really should have worked with him. There's a lot of blame, self-blame. I think it's why the title is I Didn't Believe Him. I still feel guilty that I didn't believe him. But in first grade, he came home at the beginning of first grade and, you know, he had figured out how to finally get me to understand this is a little innocent boy, right? Now he's 6 years old. I didn't believe him when he was five. Now he's six, and he thought of a different way to get through to me. He took one of those pattern books, and he said to me with a very angry look on his little face, Mommy, you want to see how I read? I'll show you how I read. Now remember, great grades in reading on his report card. He took the book, he put it behind his back, and he turned the pages at exactly the right time as he read each page. And that's how I realized, oh my God, my kid had memorized every book that he brought home from school. I don't want to say his teacher gave him, because in this curriculum, kids pick their own books, which is also, I think, ridiculous. A teacher should be deciding what a child should be reading. But the kids were picking books based on visual interest, and the books were leveled not according to any phonics rules that the kids have learned, but according to the size of the type on the page and the number of words. So the word on the page could be astronaut and was at times, or stegosaurus, which it was at times, as long as the picture showed an astronaut or a stegosaurus, that was considered okay, or for a beginning reader to be quote unquote reading.
So later on in first grade, what was the moment where you realized this is the school's fault entirely and it's not my son at all?
I read an article in New York Magazine that was called A is for Apple, B is for Brawl. And it talked about the reading wars going on at that time, reading wars that are still, you know, going on. Things are looking up now. Luckily, you know, many states have passed legislation about reading. And this method of teaching that I'm discussing is actually illegal in four states. It's against the law to use three cueing in four states. I'm blanking on the four, but I know one is Louisiana and one is Ohio. And I should remember, but I don't remember the other two. But anyway, that article detailed what was happening in the classroom. I hadn't witnessed it. I had witnessed one lesson called Reading Workshop, where the kids were supposed to pick books and read independently, and Eric and his reading partner, the kids were paired up with people. They were supposed to read a story and discuss the plot. Now, they couldn't read. So there was nothing to do except for the two of them to bicker and argue over a book that his reading partner accused Eric of stealing, which he hadn't stolen, and the teacher had to get involved. And it was a complete waste of time for them. And would have been if I hadn't been in the classroom. I worked with Eric during that period. But that was my only exposure to seeing what the school did. But this article detailed a lesson and showed the teacher urging the child to guess from the picture. It showed her accepting incorrect words. So like if the word on the page is pony and the child says horse, that would be considered okay in this method of teaching. And it explained all about, you know, the reading wars that had been going on. And it said, and this is really what hit home, was the reason New York had just put this curriculum into its schools was because the chancellor and the mayor at the time was Mayor Bloomberg, they wanted schools in the city to be teaching in the way all these very successful, highly regarded schools were teaching. But the article, if you read between the lines, clearly got it across that these schools were successful because the parents at these schools had the financial means to hire tutors to teach their children to read. And I just thought, this is really absurd.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. And a brief reminder to our listeners that next month is our Fall Fund Drive month. You can help us jumpstart our progress by going to ijpr.org/support or call 1-888-552-6191. And we're back. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. Our guest is reading instruction expert Irene Daria. So you kind of left off on something that I think is really interesting, and that's kind of the burden of this reading instruction on parents. And that's kind of the central theme of your book. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, absolutely. But before I do, I just want to—I remember the other two states where this method is illegal. So it's Indiana, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Ohio. Okay, so burden on the parents. The burden has fallen squarely on the parents. There was a wonderful podcast called "Sold the Story" that American Public Media put out, and there's a story that is worth repeating that was told in that podcast where a teacher was a Black woman who was raised in a family where many of her relatives couldn't read, and the children who went to school with her couldn't read, and she saw what an issue this was for Black and brown children, and it's an issue for white and for all children, but you know, she it's especially hits hard when families can't afford tutoring, and her goal in life was to go to excellent schools in white neighborhoods and learn what the secrets of these schools and bring them back to teach Black students. And she learned the secret was that white families were hiring tutors, and she became one of them. And she started tutoring kids. And she said that her friends also realized this. They scrimp and save their money to move their families into, you know, great neighborhoods with great school districts and realize that to teach your child to read, they have to hire a tutor. Now, I have to stress, this is not true in all schools, of course. It's a big country out there. There are many different school districts. Some schools, you know, do teach phonics well, but in most public school districts, this has been the prevalent way of teaching reading. Sometimes teachers are aware that this method doesn't work, and, you know, they close their door and they sneak in more phonics. Balanced literacy, the issue with balanced literacy was it's a method of teaching. It's not a set curriculum. So you have to enter a classroom to see what that individual teacher is doing. And now teachers are becoming so aware of the fact that they have been taught in their teachers' colleges how to teach reading incorrectly. They're forming Facebook groups called The Science of Reading, What I Should Have Learned in College. They're writing open letters to their colleges of education complaining about the education. They're racked with guilt over the kids that they've harmed. I have to say harmed unintentionally. No teacher meant to not teach a child to read. You know, the teachers, people say to me, well, aren't you angry at Eric's teachers? And no, I'm not. They were so well-intentioned and did what they believed worked for children. Although I do have to say, his kindergarten teacher told me that she tutored kids after school and taught phonics. That was a little puzzling to me. but they did believe that this method worked, and the onus was placed on the child. You know, if the child isn't learning, then something must be wrong with the child. And that's something that really needs to be talked about. His school, you know, he was learning to read so well with me at home, and was making great progress and was able to read increasingly difficult words that contain the phonics rules that he learned. And the sight words, those are words that do not follow phonics rules and need to be memorized, like the or said. I also taught those to him in order of frequency of use. Now, mind you, I didn't know what I was doing. I figured this out each step of the way by talking to other mothers and by researching things on the internet. I was not yet a developmental psychologist. I had not yet done my dissertation on how children learn to read. All of that came after and because of what happened to Eric. So at the time, really, I was quote unquote just a mom. And moms, you know your kids and you know so much more than you think you know. I just want to stress that. So he was learning to read with me at home, and in school, he was not making progress. And I learned and realized that in order to make progress, meaning to go from one level of book to the other, you know, like level A, B, C, D, E, F, and each incremental level has more words on the page, has smaller type, and so on. They are not leveled according to phonics rules that kids have learned or any systematic lessons that have been given to children. So he wasn't making progress because making progress in school was a matter of lucky guesses. You know, can you guess what that picture shows? Can you memorize the pattern and then guess well enough to read one little book, one book. And if you could read this book, you moved on to the next level. His school used a system from a publisher called Rigby, and the teacher told me it was just one book per level in this big binder that she had to assess the kids for their reading levels. So making great progress with me at home, not making progress in school. I went to the school and said, you know, I don't want to be his full-time reading teacher. You have to help me. They said that he could work with a reading specialist. And she called me after just maybe two lessons with him and said she wanted to evaluate him because she thought there was something wrong. And this is someone who was aware that the school was not teaching correctly. And her reason for wanting to do the evaluation at the beginning, and maybe always, wasn't because she thought there was something wrong with Eric, but because if they didn't put him in the pipeline for an evaluation, she could only work with him for 6 weeks. And he needed way more support than 6 weeks. So I was not going to agree to an evaluation because I knew there was nothing wrong with my kid because he was making great progress. So to make a very long story short, he's making great progress at home, making no progress in school. His teacher starts saying she thinks something's wrong with him. The assistant principal starts saying she thinks something's wrong with him. The reading specialist keeps pushing for the evaluation. And my husband says, you know what? The only way we're going to prove to them that there's nothing wrong with Eric is to let them evaluate him. To cut to the end of the story, they evaluated him. He did great on the evaluation. He scored very high or superior in literally every category of the evaluation. And I'm standing up to leave thinking this is great news. They finally, you know, can see there's nothing wrong with my son. And they say, we're labeling him learning disabled because his reading level does not match his high IQ.
You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. Our guest is reading instruction expert Irene Daria. So this is a really remarkable thing that they're labeling children learning disabled kind of off of their own mistakes. And it seems to go along with a pattern of not being taken very seriously by this school. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I'm not sure if it was that I wasn't taken seriously as much as I was not listened to, which I guess is the same thing. They figured I didn't know what I was talking about. And I got words of advice at the beginning of first grade. On the first day of school, I talked to parents outside of the school. I sort of did a reconnaissance mission and talked to as many parents as I could about how their kids were doing in reading and what they did with them. And I said to one mother whose daughter was reading, she said, very well. She was on a second, I think, second grade level in reading or maybe third and second grade level in math. And I said, oh, your daughter learned to read really well in school. And she said, no, she went to a tutoring center. They taught her how to read. And that's the first time that I realized people were tutoring their kids. And I said to her, well, I trust the school, but I don't understand how they teach reading. And she looked at me as if I was from another planet. And she said, you can't trust the school. And she wasn't just saying this about our children's school. She was saying this about any school. She said, you can't trust the school. You have to let them do what they're doing because you're not going to change them. And then we have to give our children what they need at home. But I want to really stress the you're not going to change them words. I, as one person, could not change them. There are parents and organizations all across the country that were wise and banded together as groups, and they have affected great change in their communities. The NAACP in Virginia wrote a letter to a school district in Virginia demanding change. So if your children are experiencing this in school, talk to other parents. You know, I was a little bit a fish out of water in my son's school because it wasn't an issue for the other, many of the, I shouldn't say, there were plenty, I would say one third of the kids in the class were in a similar situation as Eric, where they really needed help learning to read while they were in school. And the others had all taught their kids at home, and the ones who realized it also then taught their kids at home. They had the financial means to hire tutors. We at the time did not. I was working as a freelance writer, and I was in graduate school, and I just felt, I have to figure out how to do this myself, and I did.
So do you think that this kind of thing, what kind of impacts do you think this has on like class disparities when it comes to education, which are already pretty striking?
Huge, tremendous, tremendous impact, tremendous. Because not only can lower socioeconomic level families not afford tutoring, they have no idea that their kids are not learning in school. There's an organization called Nashville Propel that released a white paper on this last month. And it was a huge percentage of parents thought their kids were reading just fine. And it was only something like 28% of them were. Report card grades are inflated. Grades are based on, is a child trying? Does a child come to school? Is a child doing his homework? I now run a K-12 tutoring company, so I see this all the time. Sometimes teachers don't even check the homework. You know, kids get full credit for it because they did it. Yes, but did they do it right? and I can't begin to tell you how many kids come to me for tutoring in later grades, and the parents are shocked at what they don't know how to do in terms of math as well. The phonics aspect of things, many schools are now teaching phonics. That has luckily filtered through too many schools, but they teach phonics separately from reading. So they will teach kids how to sound out words, but they will still be sending home these little pattern books with the big words in them. So I can't tell you how many kids I see coming to me who they can recite their phonics rules. I had a little first grade boy last year who he knew what an R-controlled vowel was. I mean, a first grader. You know, he could recite the phonics rules that he learned, short vowels, blends, digraphs, silent E, R-controlled vowels. He could recognize an R-controlled vowel if he saw it, but he was struggling with reading because he hadn't been given enough practice with decodable books. Decodable books are books that contain words that kids can sound out and practice and reinforce those rules. And he was bringing home these big, these pattern books. You know, it is a rainy day, it is a sunny day, it is a cloudy day, where they have to guess from the picture. I mean, a first grader can't read the word cloudy or the word weather. And the kids start not liking to read because they feel like they're not good at it. The connection between the phonics and the reading isn't being made. So as far as disparity, huge disparity, and it begins in kindergarten and first grade. If a child isn't taught to read in first grade, that feeling of shame, that feeling of struggle, the process of learning, the process of not being taught to read is very painful for children, as is not being able to read, when they're older, but not being taught. Feeling there's something wrong with you because you're not getting it and maybe other kids are getting it. And hiding it. Kids, they hide the fact that they can't read, so they become silent. And this affects the trajectory of their academic lives. Instead of being an eager, curious student sitting towards the front of the room, raising his hand and asking questions, it's the silent kid feeling something's wrong with him and embarrassed and just dying to get out of the classroom. So they start not liking school. I volunteered at a school in Harlem teaching the teachers how to teach reading, and they were not being taught systematic phonics. In one classroom they were. There was one wonderful teacher who taught her kids systematic phonics. So that's what I mean. I'm not making a blanket statement about every classroom and every school, but most of the kids in that school were not taught phonics, and it was a school that went from kindergarten to eighth grade. These sweet, wonderful, adorable, bright, curious little kids in first grade, by the time they got to middle school, they're angry. They're kicking doors. They don't want to go to school. And I don't blame them. Who would want to go to school if you can't read or you can't read well, right? Or you're guessing what the words are, and you don't know how to sound out big words and syllables because you've never been taught how to.
Irene, thank you so much for being my guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.